This is the August 20th, 2024 hearings of the Clark County Board of Equalization. We have 15 minutes scheduled for each of the three properties before us. The hearing before us involves petition 850, 851, and 852 for property IDs 12774100, 12774000, and 9237200. The properties are owned by Dorothy Grizzle. Board members present by video conference are John Marks, Lisa Bodner, and Chairman Daniel Weaver. There is no one present from the assessor's office, but we do have Dorothy here for the appellant. If you could please raise your right hand now to be sworn in.
Do you swear or affirm the testimony you give in this hearing will be the truth and a penalty for perjury?
Yes.
Thank you. Just to let you know, we're independent from the assessor's office. We're here to hear testimony and make a decision on the value of your properties as of January 1st, 2023. Keep in mind, the assessor has the presumption of correctness. You have to overcome that to prevail. Within 30 days after this hearing, you get a written response from this board as the outcome. And you have 30 days from that point to appeal to the state. The assessor has that same 30 days to appeal if he doesn't like our decision. So unless you have questions on procedure, I'm going to turn it over to you and let you further explain your appeal.
Okay. I've got them all separated, but I can run them all together because it's pretty much the same. The first one, which is the one-acre lot, the more recent comp that I added on the 21 days before the hearing, that property is very similar to mine, and what I keep finding, and this has happened a couple times now, is the assessor in the prior appeal grabbed a property that had somebody had done all the planning and all the engineering and was ready to be. The assessor grabbed that sale and said, "This is comparable to me," which is not, and I brought that one up two times in a row because as soon as it changed hands, they did break ground and started building. So obviously they're a different value than me. This current comp that I added is very similar to me in that I actually drove by it and the people are just living in it, just like me. There's no engineering done on it. They're not ready to break ground and start putting in sewer and water and developing and putting buildings on it because it's just regular land. So the only thing, what I said on this most recent comp was $186,518 per acre. So if you took my 1.12 acres, that'd make it 2089. And that's not saying that other property was just kind of hilly where mine has a cliff. So that addresses the first one, I guess, because I've already given all the documentation on it.
Okay.
And then, can I skip to the next one, or were there any questions?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay. And then on the next one, it's the same thing, and I'm using the same comp. It's just based. The assessor's high because they think, oh, sorry, it might be my volume. Can you hear me better?
Yeah, that's good.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Stop me if I shout. So on this one, it's the same thing, although this is not a cliff like the 1.2 is. The assessor could just look at it and say, well, it's just sloping, it's ready to develop. But it's got the same issues. That's what makes it more comparable to the comp that I gave that was the current one at $186,000 per acre because it still has the geotech issues. It's not something that's ready to go. The geotech would have to do a two-year study on it and say whether the ground is even stable. So I think I'm much more comparable to that $186,000 per acre one than the ones that are completely level with no slope issues, to slope issues, and not ready to develop. Can I skip to the last parcel?
Sure.
Okay. On the last parcel, I couldn't find my folders, as per usual, but I think the last time I appealed this, I said the same thing, is that there shouldn't really be any value on it. It couldn't be listed for sale without subdividing it, and it can't be subdivided because of what I already said. And even if it was easily subdivided, they list it and sell it as a separate lot, it's got a septic drain field. It's no driveway. It's well over 400 feet off the road. So the assessors, I know they're just supposed to throw values at it and we have to argue, but it's really high stress and tiring for me to have to keep arguing when they could just take the last record and realize that there's not any value except what it adds to my property, because obviously it gives me more land. I don't dispute that. But it has no value on its own.
You have a house on there that you live in, is that correct?
On the 1.12 acre parcel, yes.
Now, which one is that?
The 1.12 acre, the parcel number is 12774100.
Okay. And he's raised the value of the property and taken the house off, and I guess they did that last year too, right?
Yeah, I don't get their logic. I'm trying to roll with what they're doing. I mean, it's an old house, but it's not, you know, decrepit. I'm living in it. Although a big tree hit us last winter, and it's a 15-inch diameter tree, $40,000 worth of damage, but there's insurance for that.
Did you say that's the 12772-4000?
12774-1000?
774-1000? Yeah. Did I get that wrong? Yeah, no, that's it. Yeah, they're taking the value and bumping it up to developable property and saying that likely the house would be torn down at the point in which it was developed.
Yeah, you're right. And, you know, that's one of my biggest arguments is when the assessor says it's prime development land, because when I bought back in 2003, this property had been for sale at least 5 months. And it had a couple price drops. And my recollection back in 2003 was everybody was buying and building, and before the crash, everything was going high, wide, and handsome. So if it was such prime development land, why didn't the developers buy it then? Because there are issues that make it not prime development land that the assessor's not taking into consideration, or maybe not taking the time. You know, everybody's busy. Nobody's looking at details. Just like when they looked at that, you know, when you look at that comp that I use, if you look at it quick, it looks like half the acreage. But if you look at it in detail with the excise affidavit, it's actually tax parcels making it a bigger piece. So, you know, I live here. I do look at the details.
So you're asking for $208,900. For that property, and the other one is what, 5 acres?
4.12.
And you're asking 768,454?
Yeah, and I think it's high, but I'm trying to rely on this one comp that I have. I think right. It's high because of the issue, since it's not prime development land. But all I have is this comp this year to go on, so I think I'd argue it further if I had something to show for it.
And the third one at 95,124, correct?
The third one at, what did you say? I'm sorry.
95,124.
No, the third one, I said, God, I hope I didn't make a mistake. No, I said no value on it because that it's only adding value. It's not a separate sellable lot. It's only adding value to my other lot. Did I write 94,000 somewhere? I'm sorry if I did.
No. No.
You put zero.
Oh, okay. No. Okay. I think I have it.
Yeah, I do. I don't have any other questions. We'll probably see you next year, though.
I don't have any questions yet. Other than on that first parcel, 127741, the assessor shows that as 1.21 acres, and you show it as 1.12. I wonder if there's a transposition on
probably my brain.
That's what I
probably my brain on that.
That's why I asked that question, because she kept saying 1.12, and the assessor has 1.21.
Okay, I'll go with that. I probably just confused it. I get really stressed out of these. My brain just explodes.
The first parcel is listed as 1.12 acres on Property Information Center. So 1.12 is correct.
Is correct?
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay.
On the notice of value, it says 1.21 on the notice of value.
Yeah.
Here, hold on, Sharon.
But down below,
well, the reason why it confuses me. Well, I thought it used to be 1.00, so that's why I'm confused. I just take whatever number they give at it.
But if you look down below in the body of the notice of value, it says 1.12. So the top and the notice of value, the top and the bottom don't agree.
Yeah.
Kind of shows you about being too busy and doing things too fast and not looking in detail.
Okay. We'll fix it.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay. Thanks for listening. You're right. I'll see you next year.
All right. Bye-bye. Okay. Close the hearing.
I should have.
This is a continuation of the August 20th, 2024 hearings of the Clark County Board of Equalization. Before us, we have 7 late files submitted to the Clark County Board of Equalization. Board members present by video conference are John Marks, Lisa Bodner, and Chairman Daniel Weaver. The first set of properties we're looking at were submitted by Patrick William. Property IDs include 831000, 84567500, 831000, is that the same? Yep, you did that one twice, so one less. And then 13751700. So 3 properties from Patrick William. He used the late filing good cause request form. He used reason code 3. He said, hello, I was out of town July 1st, 2024, August 6th through August 6th, 2024. So from July 1st to August 6th, he was in Redmond with his son to get him settled in his new home for flight school. And he was a day late on the appeal form.
Sounds valid?
Yep.
All right. We'll go with yes on those. Thank you. The next one we have is a request for reconvene form from Susith and Denali Kure. They used reconvening code 1. They stated, we received the notice of value late, which prevented us from filing the appeal on time. There are 2 houses in our neighborhood with the same 3942 street address number. The post office has frequently delivered mail designated for our house to the other address with the same number and vice versa. This latter letter was also likely delivered to the other address, and we found it left on our front door closer to the deadline for the filing of the appeal. Given the situation, we're unable to file the appeal on time. We ask for your consideration and to allow us additional time.
You didn't read the property number in.
Oh, good call. I apologize. The Kure's property ID, they did not put on that sheet. Let me see if they put it on their other one. They did. It is 127502140. And this is for Susith and Denali Kure.
Okay. Yeah, so he didn't get it in the time. That's, that's valid.
Okay. Interesting, two houses on the same street with the same address? That seems a little...
A little strange,
All right, and the final two are also by the same owner. They are owned by Aldo Rez, LLC. They are property IDs 98606-35101 and 22003-2098. They are also using the good cause request form, reason code D and F, which we can take a look at if we need to. That states the taxpayer was unable to file the petition by the filing deadline because of a natural disaster such as a flood or earthquake occurring. And then the taxpayer is a business and was unable to file the petition by the filing deadline because the person employed by the business responsible for dealing with property taxes was unavailable due to illness or unavoidable absence. And their reasoning that they wrote was property owner's offices are in Florida and timely filing was affected by Hurricane Debbie. Property owner is a business, LLC, and person responsible for dealing with property taxes was unable to file timely. And that was their reasoning.
Does that time coincide with Debbie?
Let's look it up. I don't actually know. I think so. Okay, Debbie. That formed on August 3rd and went through August 14th.
When was the due date of the form?
August 5th.
I guess it coincides.
That was a good day, August 5th.
Yeah.
One of my favorite days of the year.
It's what?
It's my favorite day of the year.
Why?
It's my birthday.
Wow.
It used to be my favorite day of the year. It's not so favorite anymore.
That's it. Yeah, I guess so. You guys okay with that one?
Yes.
Yeah. I'm not really, but yes.
All right. That concludes all the late files that have currently been submitted.
All right. Close that.
This is the August 20th, 2024 hearings of the Clark County Board of Equalization. We have 15 minutes scheduled for this property. The hearing before us involves petition number 979 for property ID 188315000. The property is owned by Roger and Barbara Snowy. Board members present by video conference are John Marks, Lisa Bodner, and Chairman Daniel Weaver. There is no one present from the assessor's office, but we do have Roger here for the appellant. If you could please raise your right hand now to be sworn in.
Do you swear or affirm the testimony you give in this hearing will be the truth under penalty for perjury?
Yes, I do.
Thank you. Just to let you know, we're independent from the assessor's office. We're here to your testimony and make a decision on the value of your property as of January 1st, 2023. Keep in mind the assessor has a presumption of correctness. You have to overcome that to prevail. Within 30 days after this hearing, you'll get a written response from this board as the outcome. And you have 30 days from that point to appeal to the state. The assessor has that same 30 days to appeal if he doesn't like our decision. So unless you have questions, I'm going to turn it over to you and let you further explain your appeal.
Okay. Mr. Weaver, I appealed it last year and you were present. John Marks is new and they don't have a name of the lady.
Oh, really? Lisa Bodner.
Okay.
She was on my screen.
Yes, and you were there last year, too. Thank you. So the crux of my appeal is that the property is appraised as prime developable land. And I submitted in my written 24 pages that I suspect you have already reviewed.
Yes.
There's quite a few exhibits in there to back up what I'm. It's like evidence backing up what my argument is.
And I believe that the assessor's office is incorrect in valuing the property at its highest and best use and the true value of the land. Property that's in question, this 188315000, has well over half of it is steep slope property that is undevelopable. When I submitted three comparables, all the land, all of those pieces of property are all relatively level land and it, or it is 100% developable. When you take, subtract off the steep slopes of my property, you will find that there, instead of being five usable acres for the highest and best use, there's just slightly over 2 acres. So when I take the average cost per acre of my three comparables, I come up with a per acre value multiplied by the approximate 2 acres. I actually use the 2.03 to come up with an appraised value of $329,463. Now, if you have questions, I'd like to leave more time for answer any questions, or if my argument doesn't make sense, I will continue on with some explanation of my exhibits.
Is the page 7 of 24, is that your property?
That is, page 7 is just showing what the legend is of areas of, that the yellow color is areas of potential instability, and the shows that the darker green is slopes greater than 15%.
But that's not your property.
My property is on exhibit number... Page 22 of 24. That's a scale drawing, shows the unstable land in the yellow orange. The dark green is the steep slope. Then you have, when you establish those boundaries, you have a 50-foot setback from the orange, the unstable ground. And then those drawings that are two triangles, one, triangle one, triangle two, plus the rectangle of three is the amount of land that is actually developable. Another drawing, if you want to look at page 21, that shows the complete outline of the property without adding the slopes.
Page which?
Page 21. So 21 is just an outline of the property. 22 is when you superimpose the slopes.
Well, last year we had a value of $433,783 on your land. Do you think it's worth less this year than it was last year?
Yes, I do, because if you look at the comparables, that's how I established the value, just looking simply at assessor's values.
Well,
assessor's values or sales?
These properties have sold. There's on page 8 of my exhibits, page 8 out of 24, there are three comparables there.
Based on sales, then, not on assessor's values.
They're based on sales. The sale dates were 6/20/22 and 6/20/22. 2022 and
9/7/2022. Yeah, I've got it. Thank you.
You're very specific in your rules not to use phrases.
Assessed values. Yeah, not to use assessed values, right.
On the map of your property, the brownish area is the property not usable, and do you have... Did you assess any value to that at all?
I do not assess any value at all because as when land is developed, the unstable, unusable land, which I use an example in on page 23 of 24, that outlines property that was in a development that is just probably a half a mile from my land. And what ends up happening is when a developer develops property that has unusable space, they put it into the HOA, Homeowners Association. And if you look at page 24 of my exhibits, the last one, it shows that that land then, when it goes to the HOA, is assessed at no value.
Right.
So if you take my property and if somebody someday developed that property, they would just take that unusable space, put it into an HOA, the county then, or the assessor then, assigns no value to it. And the assessor's office, as I stated in the very beginning, has assessed this property as prime developable land.
The assessor assigns no value to it because the HOA is a nonprofit organization and not subject to taxation. Not necessarily that the land is worthless. If you owned it as an individual, they would still assess it at some minimal value based on the fact that it's unusable, but it's still buffer land to, you know, to the property. They would still assign some value. But because it goes to the HOA, it becomes zero value because it's nonprofit organization.
I would not disagree with you, Mr. Weaver, but the problem, the counter argument to that is going to be the county is assessing that property as if all of it is developable.
I understand that. I understand that, David. But I'm just saying that they should value it at some minimal value because it's not developable.
As opposed to
a full developable piece of property. Got it. Okay.
I don't have any questions.
I wish that the representative was there from the assessor's office. I have tried for 2 years calling them, most of the time they never return the phone calls, to so that they would discuss this with me. And if there is some kind of a value, then they should redo their formula and say part of that property is worth X amount of dollars and part of it's worth another amount of dollars. But they never talk to you. And it is frustrating.
We hear that all the time.
Okay.
Yep.
I don't have any other questions.
No. I'm good. John, got any questions?
No, I don't have any questions on it either, other than do you have that land lays to it up above Lake River, right in the Salida area?
That's
where it's located.
That's correct.
Yeah. Okay. Back in there where they've done a lot of development recently in the Ashley Heights and the other extended area out there. Is it that far north or are you more like Erickson Farms area?
Erickson Farms.
Okay. All right. No, I don't have any other questions on that.
Okay. You'll hear from us within 30 days.
Okay. Great. Thank you very much for your time.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. Close the hearing.
This is a continuation of the August 20th, 2024 hearings of the Clark County Board of Equalization. We have 15 minutes scheduled for the property before us. The hearing before us involves petition number 857 for property ID 19894100. And the property address, or the property is owned by Linda and Kenneth Swift. Board members present by video conference are John Marks, Lisa Bodner, and Chairman Daniel Weaver. There is no one present from the assessor's office, but we do have Linda, Chloe, and Lauren Swift here for the appellant. If you want to speak, please raise your right hand now to be sworn in.
Do you swear or affirm the testimony you give in this hearing will be the truth under penalty for perjury?
Yes.
And who did I hear answer? Linda Swift.
You heard Linda and Lauren both answered, yes.
Okay.
There was a third person there, is that? I can't remember.
Oh, she's not going to be speaking, though. She's just sitting here.
Okay. All right, go ahead. Let you know, we're independent from the assessor's office. We're here to hear testimony, make a decision on the value of your property as of January 1st, 2023. Keep in mind, the assessor has the presumption of correctness. You have to overcome that to prevail. Within 30 days after this hearing, you get a written response from this board as the outcome, and you have 30 days from that point to appeal to the state. The assessor has that same 30 days to appeal if he doesn't like our decision. So unless you have questions,
all right.
Unless you have questions on procedure, I'm going to turn it over to you and let you further explain your appeal.
Thank you. The 30 days, is that from the date that you mail the decision to us?
Yes.
Okay. Very good. Well, good morning. And to start out here, respectfully, before I begin, may I ask the board if you have had a chance to note the order dismissing appeal and setting market value on stipulation of parties to $830,000 for assessment year 2022?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Okay. And if you were able to read the Swift Property Feasibility and Financial Analysis Report in its entirety?
Yes.
Yes. Yes.
Thank you. All right. Well, my part will be brief here. I just wanted to reiterate, according to my email, as per the attached 7-2024 Development Feasibility and Financial Analysis Report, the current assessed value of $1,227,240 overestimates the true development potential of the land. The potential post-developed lot total is significantly impacted by spatial constraints associated with the narrow configuration of the land, which is too narrow to accommodate more than one row of lots and appurtenant access roads. A maximum of only 14 lots could feasibly be created. Number two, local developers will not purchase our property for the current assessed value. The true appeal of our property to the developer market is significantly diminished due to development constraints, land configuration, evidenced further by recent offers to purchase by two local developers who were unwilling to pay us more than $500,000 for our parcel. Can you hold this for a second? All right. 1.928 acres out of our 3.96 acres is the total developable acreage of the 6219 Northeast 139th Street property. And please see the financial analysis, assumptions, and returns page of the development feasibility report. In order to develop the property into 14 shovel-ready lots, it will cost the developer $2,280,972 with a net profit of only $407,028, which is less than the $500,000 purchase price. That is not logical or feasible. Hopefully in the report you saw that $500,000 was what the engineer determined would be the market value. So I'm going to pass you to my son now, who has more to share.
Well, I'm going to read a statement here that I made explaining the evidence that we provided. I'm going to try to go through as quickly as possible, and if you need me to repeat anything, please just let me know and I'll stop and repeat it. So here we have provided a completed feasibility study performed on our 6219 Northeast 139th Street property, demonstrating the measurements, consideration, and analysis performed, determining the true and accurate non-developable acreage of our property, determined by our engineer. See development feasibility report executive summary, page one. Here we can see that, this report analyzes the feasibility of developing the property, the feasibility to create single family residential lots and provides evidence that the current appraised value overestimates the property's true market value. The highest and best use of the subject site is determined to be subdividing the property to create 14 single family residential lots. The potential post-developed lot total is significantly impacted by spatial constraints associated with the narrow configuration of the subject site. The market value of the subject site was assumed to be the amount a prospective developer, which is the developer market, would be willing to pay for the undeveloped property. This value was determined using a financial model that is typically used by land developers when conducting a feasibility analysis. So here, the true and accurate land developability potential dependently generates and corresponds with the current true and accurate developer market appeal. The current true and accurate developer market appeal factor is essential to and seems to be the ultimate justification for prime developable land classification. There currently exists an evidently inflated series of annual valuation assessments pertaining to our property performed by the Clark County Assessor, which includes the 2023 assessment year valuation of $1,227,240. Upon reviewing the results of our July 2024 feasibility study findings performed by Byron Jolma, principal engineer of Jolma Design, together we find that the currently imposed prime developable land classification and all of the respective consequential expectational requirements accompanying, surrounding, and implied regarding the defining characteristics of prime developable land classification are not rationally or feasibly fulfillable or applicable to our property due to its non-developable acreage. Please see Development Feasibility and Financial Analysis, page 2 through 1. And here we can see that our engineer has highlighted that the under lot configuration, under the property information table, it says this subject site is configured as a flag lot. The pole is what he calls it, narrow portion of the lot provides access to the flag area of the property via a driveway intersecting Northeast 139th Street. The flag area of that lot is approximately 200 feet wide, too narrow to accommodate more than one row of lot and access roads. And again, the methodology, the primary objective of this analysis was to determine the market value of the property. For purpose of this analysis, market value is the amount a prospective developer would pay for the undeveloped property in its current condition. An analysis was performed to determine the maximum sale price of the property that would make developing the property through entitlement financially viable. And again, I spoke with our engineer. He said that these estimates are on the conservative side, absolutely, for the record. And so, therefore, the highest and best use is most likely not a prime developable development. This is specifically due to the approximate 197-foot width of the land and the inherent implications of the development envelope, in addition to the remainder of all the undevelopable acreage confined within the referenced approximate 0.45-acre flagpole lot referenced in the provided report. This majorly impacts the true and accurate developer market and incentives for purchasing our land. Please see feasibility and financial analysis. Again, that's what I just referred you to. It describes and supports this. The potential post-developed lot total capacity for our parcel is significantly impacted by market spatial constraints associated with the narrow configuration of the land, which is too narrow to accommodate more than one row of lots, and upper two and access roads. A maximum of only 14 lots can be feasibly created. We believe that due to the lack of the potentiality and feasibility of developing our property in consequence to both the present non-developable acreage and the financial practicalities of developing the land in a prime developmental manner, that the highest and best use of our property perceived by our engineer and the applicable developer purchasing market aligns with the results of this provided report. Please see conclusion, page 3-1, to support that. Being that individually, the property's highest and best use and most likely use is most likely serving as a residence or a 14 shovel-ready lot development with unfeasibly low profit margins and incentive towards purchasing or developing by the developer market, we believe that our property is seemingly not, most likely, prime developable land by definition. We as a family believe that the most likely use and future highest and best use of our property is to continue functioning as a family residence and returning to classification as such, as it has remained for 37 years since its original purchase. We therefore request that the board readjust the 6219 Northeast 139th Street valuation to align most accurately with our feasibility study findings. And that is it.
Hello?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
So
wanted to make sure we didn't lose you.
You're yeah. asking for the value to be set at the 400,000 level, but your discussion just now indicated you wanted it set at the lot value of one single family residence.
We believe in our assessment and rational valuation of our property that our numbers reflected between the 400 range and up to what our engineer provided, because again, what he provided, those figures of 500,000, is an exaggerated figure in favor of the county, not us. He actually estimates our value to be less than what he's provided here slightly, potentially, but wanted to ensure that we were erring on the side of conservativeness.
No, I understand that, but that's valued on the basis of developing the 14 lots, and not on the value of what it would be as a single family residence.
That is the value proposed in the feasibility study is proposing priming the land, getting it to a prime state by definition to develop.
Yeah,
until then, it is not construed as that by developers or the developer himself, and he himself does not see the highest and best use for this property as developing it. He thinks it should be a residence.
Got it. Okay.
And my mom just had one thing she wanted to mention, too.
I just wanted to be sure that you had received my amendments to the original petition, where I changed values from the previous value.
I thought you said 503,000.
Yes, I did. That was the update.
Okay.
I just wanted to be sure that you saw those changes.
Yep.
All right.
I don't have any other questions.
I don't believe
I have a couple of questions on it.
Okay.
I'm looking at the aerial map that you provided, the photo thing, and I see the property going up to 139th, and you have this flag that comes down your the property right to the east. It appears to be a house in there and a little carved out lot. Is that property under your ownership also, or is that someone else's?
Let's see here. If we
go
to
the northeast corner.
The northeast corner. Okay. Yeah. A house. No, that isn't. Do you see the purple lines on the figures, Kay? There's two figures. There's the first aerial. Let's see here. I can go up. There's the first aerial that is a red perimeter highlight.
Yes.
And then the second one has a purple highlight. And the skinny, long flagpole-shaped lot facing north is ours. It's only, let's see here. No, we do not own...
It only, what is purple, within the purple rectangular shape is our property. Everything outside of that, the engineer proposed that the roads would go right up against our tree line and the adjacent eastern property.
And anything that has a red line is, he did extend this drawing.
The adjacent eastern property is an asymmetric property.
Yeah. Okay. I just was curious if you had if you owned adjacent land there any place, or is it, it's just this one piece is what you have. Is that correct?
Correct.
Okay. Okay. I don't have any other questions on it.
All right. Well, we thank the board for your time.
Yeah.
Thank you. You'll hear from us within 30 days.
All right.
Thank you very much.
Goodbye.
Bye.